This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Muzzle. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Muzzle is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform, businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Muzzle is more than an Apple MDM. Muzzle is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozle.com. That's business.mozle.com. Thanks to Mozle for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host as always. Back on the show, friend of the show, I think, you know, one of our most frequent guests, Weldon Dodd. Weldon, welcome back.
Thanks, Bradley. Good to be back.
So, formerly of Kanji, not that you've changed jobs, but Kanji has changed its name and new vision. And so I would love to talk about that. You know, Kanji, everybody in the Apple space has been familiar, certainly for this decade, they've been a major player. But what's the new vision? What's the new company name? And what does this mean for your customers and for everybody in the industry?
Yeah, we've changed our name to Eru. So, there's a little bit of backstory. I've told this story a few places, but when we started Kanji and we were looking at names, the founders were looking at names. One of the things that came up on the idea board on the whiteboard there was the Eru Kanji jellyfish, and it's this very small, like couple centimeters across jellyfish that's also poisonous, a bit of a nuisance. It's found in Australia and other places, and but it's kind of long. We did, you know, so they didn't want to use the full name and they weren't sure about it. But Kanji sounded good. We could get that domain name. And so we ran with that. But we kind of held on to Eru in the background. Thought, well, we might use that someday. And but what happened with the business is we got to a point where we recognized that while we love being centered on Apple device management, that there was a broader set of problems for IT teams to solve, you know, particularly around identity and security and compliance. And we wanted to address those needs as well. And we wanted to, you know, take everything that was great about what we'd done with Apple device management and bring some of those innovations to other platforms, Windows and Android, so that we could solve more of the problem for our customers. Because we're still Apple first, we're still really very Apple led in what we do, but a large percentage of our customers have multiple platforms. So I think we're a really good choice for people that are Apple first, but they always got a bit of Windows or Android around, and we wanted to be able to bring those devices into the fold and manage them in the same place that people have been doing very well with Kanji. So we thought all of those changes really warranted rebranding the company and choosing a new name so that we could send a really clear signal to the market, to our customers, to prospects about what Eru is about and where we're headed in the coming years.
No, I think most organizations fit that mold, like you said, of even if they're 97% Apple, you'll still have the occasional, Android device, whether it be a tablet, and then you're seeing a lot of things with Android that are going to be embedded in other devices. It's not even just like, oh, it's just like what you consider in your devices. Samsung has some panels that are just built around on top of Android, so it makes a lot of sense. And then, again, you'll frequently see organizations that are all Apple. Maybe the business office uses PCs because the QuickBooks environment there, so it makes a lot of sense. Has there been any confusion from customers of like, is this a new company? Like, what's been the reaction since you guys made this announcement a few months ago?
I think there have been some moments of confusion, right? I think we could admit to that. But overall, it's been very positive. The new products that we've added to the lineup have been received really well. A lot of our customers have signed up for Windows licenses, and that's been great because while there's a lot of capable solutions out there for Windows, like there's a couple of things that we do really well on the Apple side, namely like our assignment maps and be able to visually design your deployment and our auto apps catalog. We've been able to bring that over to Windows. And when we show people like how easy it is to just one click, deploy an app to Windows and keep it up to date and patched, right? They fall in love. So yeah. As a comparison, right? Intune has much broader coverage of all the Windows settings and things than we do currently, but we cover the fundamentals very well. And then we show them how we do auto apps. And they're like, oh yeah, that's going to save me much time. That's going to be great. Like I could figure out a way around these little things that Intune does for now. And so that's a really good start for us. We know that there's some customers that still need all those advanced features. We'll get there eventually. But I think we're off to a good start.
Yeah, that's exciting. I know those rebrands are, you know, I wouldn't know to say months of work. It's not years, but it's quarters of work, and it's a lot of work. Yeah. Then, you know, it's like, but in some ways you feel like the announcement is the end, but in some ways the announcement's actually just the beginning of running that race, and you have to educate your customers and your prospects of like, hey, we do more. But I think it makes a lot of sense where, you know, if you've got, let's say, again, 100 just simple number for math, but like you've got 100 devices in your organization, 95 of them are Apple. Well, you just made that 5% of your management a lot easier for those Windows computers as well. And again, it's a single source of truth for device management for compliance. It makes a ton of sense. Now, on the Apple side, obviously you guys have launched a lot over the years, expanded out now with multiple applications. Is there anything from a high level as an admin that you're excited about this year? And I'll say one of the things I'm excited that I think we've talked about on the show is I think that because of the new migration path, you're going to see some aggressive pricing from vendors. If you can go into an organization that has an established player, let's say they were with, big company for device management. Well, you can come in there, and if you're really wanting to undercut them on pricing, you have a much easier way to move those devices over. But on the flip side, it's going to force vendors that have gotten in the habit of doing, you know, hefty increases year after year, they're going to have to be more price sensitive on those increases because it's much easier for customers. So I think I'm just excited about the business side of that. And I think it's a win for customers. But on y'all side, is there some features of macOS, on the management side on iOS 26 that you guys are really excited to see kind of how now that all the updates are out, customers are upgraded, what are you excited about for this year?
Yeah, I think, there's a couple ways to compete in this market, and one is on price, right? But the other is in innovation and adding features and functionality, helping people save time and be more productive. And so I think it's certainly true that migration piece is going to remove a lot of barriers for vendor lock-in and allow customers more choice. And from our perspective, that's great because it allows us to go and compete, right, with the features that we're putting out there and what we're adding into our product mix. So it makes sense. I think, just one little prediction for 2026, it'd be nice if you could do that from Apple Business Essentials to another MDM, right? So Fair. It's great that Apple added that, but it's kind of odd that they've carved out this exception for themselves. There's a bunch more, that we'd love to see. So Platform SSO, Apple Business Manager, apps and books, there's a few things there. If we start with, Platform SSO, I think we've seen a lot of really good improvements over the last couple of years in particular. The most recent release, the most recent update with Tahoe, where Platform SSO is enabled both at the automated device enrollment screen, where you can do it before you go through Setup Assistant, that's huge. Also, having Platform SSO available after that setup and after a reboot at the File Vault unlock screen, that's also a massive improvement over where we've been. But there's still some workflows where Platform SSO isn't quite complete, right? And so we'd love to see Apple just continue to drive forward with Platform SSO and really make it shine across all these different workflows.
I do, you know, we're talking about platform SSO, and it's hard to like say one of your is the most impactful features that Apple's launched for admins. That's got to be up there for me, because I've said, I think I've written articles about this. There, you know, there was this Apple doctrine for years of to own and control your primary technologies, and I agree with that on the hardware stack of like, and even the application stack. Like Apple should not be dependent on vendors, because Apple's too big for like software vendors to ignore it. Like, you know, Microsoft cannot not have Office for Mac. So you know, that was the big fear, is like, you know, they've got to have this. So it's like, kind of like the reason iWork existed. But I think it was just this nod of, we understand that like we are, even if we're your most dominant endpoint, that we are yet a piece of how you manage IT. And we want to make it easy to integrate securely with your entire ecosystem of applications and solutions. And I was talking to somebody earlier, we're talking about like the old Active Directory days, and you know, Apple just, it was like, it was always a weird thing of binding AD to the Mac and you know, the OS 10 days, and it kind of worked. And you talk to Apple, it's like, yeah, you probably shouldn't do that. But then like everybody tried to do that, but then it was a really good solution to manage logins on the Mac. Like we just sort of did it for a long time. And the easy thing would have been to like just tie it to Active Directory, like build that. But then that wasn't building for what the world would be. And I even wonder if there's a world where Apple could become like this mini identity platform. Like where right now you obviously there's all sorts of great integrations of how you, you know, federate app, manage Apple IDs. But if like a managed Apple ID for a small organization could almost become that, and then you could tie in other applications too there, you know, it's like an enterprise version of sign in with Apple. There's part of me, but again, platform SSO, I think is just, and the changes this year you mentioned, cause it was an odd workflow prior where it's kind of like, you gotta get set up. It's like, oh, now we gotta bind that. It's a little wonky, yeah. A little weird. I think they've made some improvements, but I think to me, again, it's gotta be one of my favorite improvements of the last 5 years, if not the last decade.
Yeah. And I think 2026 will be a big year for Apple to really push on the identity, like you're talking about, you know, the old days with, Active Directory and Magic Triangle and all that, was a bit awkward. Right. And I think the place we're in now, where cloud identity is really central to a lot of what IT does in terms of provisioning apps and controlling access and managing security. And, you know, the Mac is still resting on 50 years of Unix login kind of underlying technology. And we're in a bit of an awkward place trying to merge the Mac local login accounts and cloud identity. There's work that could be done to reconcile those. I'm hoping that Apple will be thoughtful about the implementation so we don't end up with the weird, you know, network mobile accounts for AD situation that we had.
Fair.
20 years ago, right?
Well, I think the way I would like to see this is that you, some sort of portal in Apple Business Manager that like you would say, like, it's like it knows like from the get-go. It's like, it's like it just is that, it's that first thing. One of the things I really would love to see this year, I was thinking about this, is I would love, you know, Apple's AI stuff is weird, and it's not, you know, the whole AI industry is weird to me at the moment in terms of like how money's being made. I would love to see, I just think about like how end users get support and how IT people fix things. And I would really love to see, like Apple's forums have a lot of great information, but Apple's like knowledge bases are like, I mean, it's in some ways underutilized on what it can do. And I would love to see that become like an almost some sort of API where like every device management vendor could tie in, you know, just simple questions. And you could even see where like that would be pushed out to the end users. It's a, kind of like a customized version of Siri. That's like your organization, how you support Macs. Like, hey, running into this issue, it's like, this is what we see. And it can look at my past tickets, but also looks at Apple's knowledge base and gives recommendations. There's just like a lot of work that could be done there because Apple's got all that data built in. And, you know, then you could even go through, gosh, what if it could pull from like all of Apple's support tickets, like of what Sinzine seen before, like they're sitting on a treasure trove of troubleshooting information. I think that'd be fun. And again, Apple, nobody else has that information that Apple has. So I think that would be fantastic. But I do think like the, kind of like the AppleCare API was a fun one. Like, there's just little things like that. You're like, what I like is when Apple opens things up and then you kind of see what developers build, even companies like you all and Jamf and Mozilla and Jump Cloud, like what you all build when Apple opens up new things. And it does feel like Apple is becoming more and more and more and more open over the years with how it works in the enterprise, and that they have to keep selling. And that's what they want. They want to sell Macs, and that's if you just follow the incentives.
Yeah, the new Apple Business Manager APIs from this year were great. For me, it kind of highlights, you know, APNS is still kind of this weird stepchild where it's very manual process to renew your certificate and download, you know, upload the request, download the certificate, upload that into your MDM and so on. And I think it's past time for them to just fold that into Apple Business Manager along with everything else and provide a proper API to renew that cert so that customers of any MDM vendor stop having to jump through these ridiculous hoops every year on an annual basis to keep that renewed and up to date. You know, the Let's Encrypt, which has done just great work to enable SSL or TLS for websites across the industry and make it free. And they have this CertBot program that they make available to help with the automatic renewal of TLS certificates. Something like that for Apple with proper APIs to automate the renewal and the implementation. Consolidate, you know, APNS, like I've been talking about, with apps and books and with ADE tokens to really just streamline that experience would be really welcome too for our enterprise.
I hadn't thought about those certificates. That's very much feels that it sort of almost feels like a holdover from the days when the volume purchase program store was a separate thing and that. And like, it's like that should just be built into Apple Business Manager. And it should just auto happen. I mean, you shouldn't think about it. Like, it's like, why would you ever not want that to renew and like downloading a certificate? It's like, that's just like, that's one of the things, you know, that has to cause all kinds of support tickets for, and I'm sure every MDM vendor gets that. So that's actually a fair one. That's probably one of those things that like, they know that, but that doesn't look sexy on a slide at WDC.
Yeah, it's not flashy.
But it is one of those things you're like, this would be like everybody, you know, if they said that, there's probably like, you'd probably get a cheer because everybody's around it. Like, oh, did we do that? Everybody's got a calendar. I mean, it just does seem like one of those things that in a SaaS cloud world should be solved. But again, it's easier. So I'm sure there's a technical reason why they've made that's hard to do. Anything else you're excited about for this year that, you know, I know you all can't give away anything on your roadmap, but anything else you're, you know, from holdovers that you can build on from the fall releases?
Yeah. Declarative device management, I think, is a whole category where, again, you know, Apple introduced it a couple years ago. It's been steadily, they've been improving on that, adding more things, but, you know, there's still a couple spots where some work needs to be done to flesh it out. So one example, right? Today, to deploy a Wi-Fi profile that has a trust certificate associated with it, you need to deploy them together. But DDM has this capability, or at least the concept, of having a declaration and an asset that goes with it that could be managed somewhat independently. But that hasn't been done we don't have the full implementation for Wi-Fi. So it'd be great, right, to have a declaration for Wi-Fi, have a certificate as an asset that allows the trust to be established between your device and that Wi-Fi network. So we have a full complete solution within the declarative device management protocol. And it's just one example, but you know, there's several things like that where we could continue to expand DDM and provide more capabilities on the Apple side using what is a really good framework. Like, DDM is a good improvement. We're excited about, you know, apps and books, deploying apps with DDM, with declarations. That looks really promising. We're excited to see that continue.
You know, there's probably no way to do this, but it would be great. Again, this is like pie in the sky. The biggest, it shows you how good zero deployments have gotten. I would argue the biggest issues with zero touch today is still getting it on the Wi-Fi initially. And so like what a lot of organizations, like if you're in a school, they just spin up an open SSID for the day and everybody connects to it. And then you get your profiles without the other one, and you need to remove it. And again, I don't know how you do this from the factory because you have to flash it somehow. I don't know. I'm just dreaming. Is if you had a profile in Apple Business Manager and you said, this is our SSID, this is our, PSK, and it somehow knew it from when it opened the box. And then, so if you are at an office or, whatever, as soon as you open that, it automatically connected. You didn't have to. Yeah. Again, it's easy once you get it on the network. If you have a hardware connection, basically give me that simplicity of the hardwired Ethernet on a Mac that it somehow would already have that Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi profile somehow pre-installed from the factory. And I don't know how you do that, but that would be nice.
It's addressed somewhat, with return to service, where that workflow where if it's already enrolled in an existing MDM, you could send the Wi-Fi profile with the command to erase itself. So it has the ability to reconnect to Wi-Fi automatically after that reboot. If they could just expand that and allow some of these DDM things in there as well and expand that to include initial setup.
I don't know how you do it though. It sounds easy. It's like supply chain stuff. I don't know. Anyhow, but I guess in reality, it'd have to be as part of some sort of setup because it obviously from the factory it knows which is. I don't know how you do it. It's probably no way to do it. But anyways, that's just pie in the sky.
I got a few more things on my wish list.
What is one of your what's one of your pie in the sky wish lists?
Well, I got a couple, but I think Lost Mode for macOS would be great, right?
Yes, that's good. That's good.
It works really well for iOS. It'd be great to bring that to Mac. I think we touched on identity earlier. We're really gung ho about passwordless and being able to use passkeys in a lot of places. It is better security for a lot of use cases. But it's still not really fully integrated with the Mac itself, right? So we'd love to see deeper platform support, right, for passkeys. But we're fighting that, 50 plus years of history with username and password login on macOS that's built on top of Unix.
Well, my issue with Touch ID. We use these interchangeably. It's all built on the same, much the same technology. It should always be available, and it should never. I don't care if I have to reboot. I'm sorry. My fingerprint. I understand the technical reasons of the secure enclave. I understand all that. I'm just saying, the touch ID should be available at all times, even after a reboot. I should have the option for password if I want it, but Touch ID should always be available. And anytime it's asking for password, Touch ID should be there, and including after a reboot. So that's my soapbox because it's going to be difficult to fully get on passkey until we get that.
Yeah, I think there's I think it's a really difficult problem to solve. It just kind of for me highlights we're at this place where you can see the direction the industry is going with passkeys, passwordless, cloud identity, whatnot. But we have Macs that we love that are built on 50-year-old technology for logging into them. And reconciling the two is a difficult problem. But Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world. So if anybody can figure it out, I hope it's them.
That's fair. All right. We can dream. As we wrap up, I think I'm – hardware, Apple is crushing it. I had to order a printer today that I was ordered. It was replacing one that was ordered in 2022, and it's $100 more. And I think you're seeing that across the industry. Everything's getting more expensive. It's showing really, I think, how good Apple's supply chain is that they've kept their prices as steady as they are. Mm-hmm. And we may see some, modest increases with, RAM's obviously going through the roof, GPUs going through the roof. We all see that. But I think if anything, if Apple can navigate the 2026, 2027 RAM crunch on pricing and hold their pricing pretty steady, I think you could argue that it's Tim Cook's best, one of the most impactful things he's done, because, you know, and I think it's, you know, you look at, I still look at the 2020 MacBook Air, and like, you could deploy that to people today and it would still be functional. Like, it's a great computer. And the days of the $299 cheap Dell laptops are over. And so as those PCs kind of get ratcheted up on price, and that, if that MacBook Air, you know, even if they, that low end, you know, moves to the M2, that price gets more compressed over time, and Apple just looks even better and better. I saw a joke. They're like, we want Apple to follow industry standards for RAM pricing. And then it's like, yeah, okay, let's do that. The Apple's done that. Yeah. It's like, you didn't know what you're asking for, though. But, yeah. I Apple hardware is an incredible spot. I think their management tools are an incredible spot. Mac OS and iOS are incredible spots. And I just argue it's never been a better time to be an Apple admin.
Absolutely. Yeah. The things that are coming this year with, you know, the new chips look really promising. So it is great. You mentioned the RAM pricing. I think it's true. I have no inside knowledge, but I think it's true that Apple negotiates long-term contracts with their suppliers to get commitments for the parts they need to assemble their computers and other devices. I'm really curious when that renewal comes up and what that I'd love to be a fly on the wall when that renegotiation happens.
They're talking numbers. They're talking hundreds of billions in dollars of contracts. So that'll be good. Thanks for taking some chat, Weldon. I know you got a lot going on at work. It's been an exciting rebrand for you all and some new things. So, as I'm sure your roadmap is packed for the year, so as you guys have some new announcements, I can't wait to hear about them. But thanks for taking the time to chat. And we got some wish list items. I, as you said, Apple is one of the most valuable companies in the world, and if anybody can do this stuff, it's only they can. So. Anyhow, but thanks for everybody for listening this week, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Bradley.
So let's.